tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey Series Season 5, Episode 6. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Courtney Stewart.
What's up, everybody?
And Tamara Berg.
Hello.
All right, so this week we have Isis looking all dogged out. We have Mrs. Hughes being all agog. And we have Edith being all gone, which is where I want to start because we normally end with Edith. This week we want to start with Edith.
Exactly.
Let's open it with poor, poor Edith. And boy, was this. Now, we can't get much more poor, poor Edith in this particular show because she's finally learned what we've all feared, that Gregson has been found.
The fate of her love.
Found dead. Her body has been found, as a result of Hitler's, the beer?
The gang.
The brown shirts and the
yeah, exactly,
the, gang.
The brown shirts. It starts off with a telegram and everybody's hush, hush. Oh, my God, is he coming? Is he going to say what's going to happen? Who's he going to... And there's this big thing, and it takes interminably long to find out.
It takes a whole day
for them to find out.
The bad news. So they're all talking about the bad news that's impending.
Yeah.
And of course, and they're horrible to her.
Good Lord. The worst.
It's terrible.
She could barely breathe at that dinner, at the breakfast table.
Right.
She was just like...
Oh my God.
It was terrible. And then he finally, when Lord Grantham's like, let me just take it with her alone.
Well, thank God he did that because everybody else was, I understand the whole British stiff upper lip thing, but my God.
I know. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, it was like, oh, and the weather's going to be bad today. Anywho. Let's have a picnic.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me talk about my development first.
Okay.
We're going to be building these nice homes.
Yes.
No ghetto here at Downton. We're going to build it.
It's going to be fantastic, and let's go on a picnic.
I mean, I understand she's been moping around for
a very long
months
time,
and everything like that. Yeah. But I mean, when you're about to get, and only it seems like only Anna is the only one that cares or is concerned.
Well, and I love what she said.
Yeah.
He died today for her.
For her, exactly.
Is what you know.
Yeah, it's a
Except
challenge.
Nobody cares.
Nobody seems to care.
Cora kind of cares.
So what?
She tried.
Yeah, she
to
did.
Care.
Yeah. She did. That's
but then
true.
It still wasn't an active care because it was kind of like I'm in bed eating my breakfast. Oh no, she's so sad.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Okay. Oh, and even when she was talking, should I go see her?
Exactly. Did you have to ask?
Get
up and go see her.
Why aren't you circling the wagons around her?
No.
Yeah, and I felt horrible for her. But it makes total sense that she would want to leave because
what's there
for her?
There's nothing left.
Yeah, but okay, so the interesting wrinkle is she's going to be
an heiress, a newspaper heiress. Right.
Yeah.
The publishing of Gregson's
company.
Yeah, so she's got that. I don't know what exactly that means because I don't know the scope of his company, but I think that's fascinating for her since she already had taken a liking to it.
Right. So. But does she even know? I mean, she probably doesn't even know herself.
You mean
did they share that?
I'm guessing they probably said something to her.
Lord Grantham did.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the reasons why she said, "Oh, I've got my own stuff. I don't have to worry about being tied to my family in this way." I think that might have been one of the things that helped her
make the decision to exit.
And this decision, of course, we're talking about is the fact that she decided, "I'm not staying here.
I'm taking my baby, getting on the train, and going away."
Yeah, and so because we saw her last week making a call to London.
Yeah, she was making the plan.
But do we think she's going to go to London or what do we?
I think she is in London.
Wherever that hotel is, that she's at the end of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. We didn't see where it could have been a quick jaunt or she's.
Well, she took the train somewhere. She took the car to the train. Mm-hmm. So she could go anywhere in the country.
Where. Right.
Can we talk about what happened at Drew Farm?
I think we should.
That was so sad.
It was horrible.
Oh my God.
Horrible.
awful. So Edith didn't even, I mean, she was tearing up, but she was like, it's my baby.
For months she's, well, I don't know how long it's been, at least weeks, but probably months where she has been turned away and can't visit. No, go away, go away. And she's like,
not this time.
Yeah, not this time. So I can understand that. But two things that were amazing in that. One, I just thought Marjorie, the way she handled that was just heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
But she had such a presence of mind at the end to give the doll to the baby and to say those wonderful things. So at least, you know, I don't know how much Marigold would remember of that, but she said some just terrific things.
Yeah, don't forget that we love you too.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is your new mommy and no one can love you more and stuff, which is a hard thing. I mean, for her to say that in that moment with those tears was amazing.
Okay, but how did you react to Marjorie not knowing?
I thought it was terrible. As soon as they came up with the idea, Tim Drew came up with the idea, I got this plan, you know, and he told Edith that he wasn't going to tell his wife. I'm like, that's not going to be good.
Why would he not? Well, I mean, we talked about why he probably didn't tell her, because she would be a little gossipy maybe with the people.
But he's afraid of that.
After the drama started happening and Edith was like having so much trouble, he should have said something.
Right.
That was just as crushing to her almost as it would have been when Edith gave the baby.
And I think if he said something earlier, would not have been such a dramatic scene, but it still would have been heart wrenching. But you know, she could have been able. I think she would have been able to handle that much better. It's like, okay, I know I'm taking care of somebody's child here.
Yeah, she would have just relegated her to Cinderella status.
you can sweep the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
You can sweep the floor. You can clean the toilet.
But it would have been even. I just think is just as heart wrenching if she had known. Because here she is.
Well, you wait every day for the other shoe to fall.
Right. But at least you can prepare for it. And this one, she's getting the child ripped away from her, and she feels completely betrayed by her husband all at the same his head.
I know he said this. That was
the
thing.
He was so pitiful.
He's just hanging his head, not really looking at it. I'm going, hey, dude, come on. you didn't see this coming around the corner?
Was just trying to do right.
I know, it was terrible.
It was so sad.
That was the two things. Marjorie's way she dealt with it at the end there, and also after Violet came to, you know, hopefully she was going to.
Oh right,
she came too late.
Right,
but after she had talked to the Drews and thanked them, and you know, said she would take her leave or whatever, as she was leaving, the look on her face—I mean, it was just so sad. And you know, it's like, not only am I losing my granddaughter here, I may be losing my great granddaughter, and all the weight and what that might do to the family. And it's like, oh, I just thought her Maggie Smith look was fabulous.
And that's that's the burden that comes with being a matriarch.
Right, exactly. And that's the power of a look, too, because she didn't say things. You could just feel the weight of it hanging.
Well, and I thought it was so, for as surly as she can be, I thought it was incredibly kind how she, you know, genuinely took a moment to thank them because they had done something really noble.
Or was she just thanking them for not saying anything? Because that's what it came. It came off of him saying, no, we won't say anything, and neither will she. So you think she was...
Yeah, I just... Of course she's all about propriety, but it felt like a bigger moment to me than that.
I agree. And she knows the gravity of what
I would think so,
happened, and I think that she would give them that respect, too, because if they had told, maybe she'd still be there.
Poor
Edith. Now she's just going to go be a single mom in the city? What is this?
But here's the thing. Yes, it was poor Edith, but I'm so happy that she finally decided
to do something,
except instead of wallowing in that. I thought that was a terrific choice, and I'm glad she...
I wish she had just
Julian
told Tom.
Decided that. Yeah. What's that?
I know.
She had just told Tom.
I know. That was the thing I hated, too. I was not in terms of it was a bad idea. I just wanted that scene. I thought it would have been a great scene to have her... say what was going on, to have one ally, and what better ally than Tom, because he would get it.
Exactly.
Absolutely, he would.
But the only thing she said, which I think was very telling, is tell him I was of sound, not sound mind, but I wasn't hysterical.
I was not hysterical.
Oh!
That's how pathetic.
Because that's what they're going to think.
That's how they think. Yes, exactly. It's insane.
It's terrible. And they were just...
And if they found out it was the baby, they probably would just be like, oh my.
Right. And they were so surprised. What do you mean she's gone?
Why would she leave this fabulous place with us fabulous people and our fabulous meals and our fabulous clothes?
It's terrible.
We're amazing. Why would she
leave?
Oh my goodness, 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 goodness. All right. Well, I'm just so happy that she's on an active
path.
Exactly. Yes. Who knows where that will lead her?
Yes.
But it'll be very interesting.
It will.
Because now she's, I don't know how much that fortune that she's inherited, or whatever it is that she's inherited, but that may allow her some autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, but don't you sort of have to identify yourself to people in order to retrieve a fortune?
Well, yeah, but you might, once you get it and you move away, I don't know that you
have
to.
What's the point? Move to America. Nobody
that's,
cares.
That's actually one of the things I thought of, right? As I said,
nobody
there you go.
Cares.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. All right.
And okay. She's got family in America, so it'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Go see Grandmama.
Sure, Grandmama.
But, you know, it wasn't,
okay.
I mean, she's a single mother with a child. But then again, she could create her own
history.
Yeah,
are you kidding? Like, everybody
did
back then.
Exactly.
My husband, right, my husband died. It's not that I'm a single mother.
Yeah, well, it's my husband died.
Her
it's not that
this
child is a bastard child.
Because of Herr Hitler.
And technically, it almost wasn't a bastard child.
Almost.
He wanted to marry her. He obviously left her an inheritance.
We might leave that part out.
Just leave the, that it didn't quite happen out.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's move on then. Because the other thing that I thought was a really good little storyline was the whole Baxter Thomas thing. Because obviously, you know, the inspector comes back because he needs to question somebody. And the person he's interviewing is Baxter, which is a surprise to everybody. Because she wasn't even there during the time.
So, whatever. She said the letter.
Yeah, exactly. But they come to her and, you know, she, and of course her history comes out with Mrs. Hughes.
Yes.
So which was
shock.
Like, yeah. And
she was like, what?
It was good. That was a great reaction.
That was great.
Yeah, just the dumbfounded look.
Yeah.
And Viner, of course, has had it up there. You go, look, you know, I think he's had it up to here with all the, you know, propriety. He finally says to him, you keep at it, you're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how much power he would, if he would be able to do that, if he would just haul him off. To get rid of Hughes so he can speak to her directly and privately.
Well, I mean, what Mrs. Hughes said was, I don't think you're allowed.
I know, but that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering what the delineation
is. Right,
exactly.
Is
the cops, how much power
do
they
have?
Exactly.
That,
what would that
maybe
be?
What
do you mean
criminal,
allowed?
They can do whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, interesting that she has 2 years left on her sentence and she can be thrown back in.
It's like, what? She left that out of her story.
Yeah,
we didn't know she could be sent back.
Right. We knew that she'd been paroled earlier.
Yeah, well, I didn't know she
We did not know that part of the
I didn't know there were terms either. I don't. She might have said something, but I don't recall that.
Right. But interesting, how did you know anything about me? We had a letter.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah,
Stinger
card.
That's right.
Dang it, Tom.
And so did everybody instantly think Thomas?
That's
or what?
What I thought.
Yeah.
And I was bitter.
You were bitter? Oh, because,
bitter.
Come on.
Here we go. You really just wrote a letter. You're just that evil. Like, you hate yourself that much that you're going to sit down and write a letter about nothing. No facts.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Nothing.
I mean, his whole life he's been... you know, having to
marginalized.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
I mean, I understand. I don't agree with it necessarily, but I can see him. I understand him lashing out and saying, look, if everybody's going to mess with me and make me unhappy, fine. Then that's what everybody's going to get back. I get that. I don't agree with it, but I understand.
You know, what's so interesting to me is that generally speaking, people in the house, the rest of the staff, are pretty kind to him.
Yeah,
I know, exactly.
You know, they're like, we're sorry about your lot in life, you know, and you can try and be happy another way and, you know, whatever. But he's just like ready to defame and, damage anybody he gets across.
Trying to remember the initial, like, hate for Bates. Mm-hmm. Was it because he became the valet?
Yeah, I think it was a positional thing in the beginning.
Happens. You still mad 4 years later?
Well, I don't think it, I think it's obviously that's part of it, but it's also all the other stuff he's had to live with in his mind.
The societal.
Yeah,
that's not directly Bates. So
no, but he's just
attacking
Bates is just in the crosshairs. Who can I lash out at? How many times have you known people that just lash out because they're.
That's
you just happen to be there.
Stay away from evil, ugly people.
Right?
It's terrible.
All right. But even though Baxter knows who ratted her out, so to speak, she's unforgiving enough that when Thomas says, I need your help.
Yep.
And reveals himself, so to speak.
Yeah, he did.
He's such a pain in the ass. It's kind of karmic, right? So, all right. So he shows her everything and says that, you know.
And we mean everything.
Yeah.
You mean everything.
Yeah, whatever. And,
at least it was being shot in his butt.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Thank
you. Yeah, it
could have been worse. Because I had other concerns.
Oh, Courtney.
I'm just saying. Because he was looking so awful. I was like, I really hope.
Mm-hmm. He was looking awful. And so she says, yes, okay, but bring everything. I thought that was an interesting little moment there because she, you know, she didn't want to do this. a thing like, oh, you don't, you know, like how many times have people not said everything to their doctor so they get misdiagnosed and stuff like that? So it was, I thought it was very good. It was a nice little moment.
It was sensible. It was very sensible. And it was very, you know, it made good sense.
Yeah.
So he says, help me.
Yeah. And how about Baxter for really showing her who she is?
She's a good person.
As much as she has been maligned by him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She knows he's really in trouble.
We're taking you to the doctor. We're doing it in 5 minutes.
Right. Exactly.
Now.
Let's go.
No time to think about it. This is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point he says, I've done something I shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And if you know, you wouldn't want to be part of this. And mm-hmm. she says, I know what it was. Yeah. All right. So discussion, red herring.
Oh,
or
I think it was. I thought it was just about the letter. I know.
I thought it was about the letter.
Yeah, but he's saying I ratted you out to the cops. But it could be the other
it
bigger,
could be all
larger.
Kinds of
but
things.
Then
yeah.
Why?
Why?
Why would it? Be
I know
her?
It doesn't make a hell. Nothing makes sense.
It doesn't make sense at any point anymore.
We'll get into the Anna Bates thing in just a second. But
oh,
yes.
Good Lord.
So you're thinking painful. That the thing he did might have been Kill Green. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm thinking Julian Fellowes wants me to think that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so. I think you all know how irritated I am with Julian.
What if
Fellowes
Green
right now?
Was the man that she screwed up for like all those years ago? Was he too young for that?
Oh, Courtney! Well, I don't think he was. Oh, he did work in the house, right? Isn't that part of?
I don't know.
In
the
what
house with her, with Baxter.
After the event happened, after the rape happened.
No, I'm talking about when she was talking, when she divulged what had happened and where she stole the stuff and
yes.
she stole it for somebody. Wasn't that person she stole it for working in the house with her?
No, he had left. There wasn't the point that he...
No, she...
But they worked together is my
point. Yeah.
Okay,
together.
So he could be a manservant or a valet.
Yeah.
She named him.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, that's right.
She told us his name.
Thank you.
Which I don't remember,
yeah,
but
it
wasn't Green.
It wasn't Green.
So...
Okay.
It's a good point. Thank
there
you.
Must
good
have
recall,
his name,
camera.
But that was an interesting idea, Courtney.
Could have been something.
All right. So anyway, Dr. Clarkson realizes very quickly what this is all about, and he says you've been injecting saline. apparently very expensive saline, only the best because he's paid a pretty penny for it.
But not so expensive that they didn't even sterilize the needle before they gave it to you.
So, yeah. Aww. And to all, of course, to no avail because, of course, you can't cure this.
Right, anyone. I want to change. I did it because I want to change me to make me more like other people, like other men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the doctor was so kind.
Again,
he was so kind.
Yeah.
But did it do enough for you to really start understanding Thomas and feeling for him and wanting some?
I have to tell you, the minute that poor sick man turns to her and says, "Help me,"
yeah.
I mean, how can you not have compassion for someone
right.
like that? Mm-hmm. That's what forgiveness is all about, you know?
Even though he's just been horrible.
he has. And I think we're going to find some more horribleness of him coming down the mm-hmm. pike in a little bit. But
wasn't it so interesting that Baxter is saying, look, if you know,
you
really,
can be somebody.
If you just
you can
put your
do
mind
anything.
To it, you could do, yeah, exactly.
Oh,
and
so
still,
sweet.
Even thinking the best of him, even after all this.
Because she knows somebody has to think about
well,
him.
Well, because she's been marginalized,
sure.
you know? Mm-hmm. And so she understands that somebody has to stop the cycle, you know?
Okay,
you can't
thing.
Turn back. And just turn it back on him.
Right.
That doesn't get you anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be.
Did you feel compassion toward
him?
Oh,
absolutely, absolutely. And I'm waiting for, because I really, really hope that you see Thomas have a nice character arc where he starts to understand the power that Baxter's talking about and what he could achieve if he'd turned all that great, because it's just energy. If he turned all the energy, instead of messing with other people's lives, if he turned it towards what he could do with his own.
If he used his powers for good and not
for
evil.
For good
exactly.
and not evil.
Yeah, I think that would be fascinating for him to experience that because he hasn't.
Right.
And I think that would be a great character actor. That would be fun for us to watch.
Right.
Yeah,
do you think, and this is all just conversation, doesn't really have anything to do with anything, but do you think that he's going to have an opportunity to have a relationship before the
show? I think
show
at some point, I think it would be nice.
Ends?
It would be it would be good to see.
We think so?
Well, yeah, all because I think it's great conflict. How
Thank
do
you,
you have one in this era?
I was
going to
say, how does he have it?
How
is it going to be another?
How does one get? How does that
people
created?
Figured it out?
I mean, well,
no,
let's and he did have
there.
Some sort of relationship with somebody who visited, right? We early on in the series,
oh, yeah,
the
yeah,
text
yeah,
book
yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. The valet,
yeah, but I can't remember who it
the
was.
Turkish ambassador wasn't it? The valet for the Turkish ambassador?
Exactly
or thought it was.
Sorry, you guys, there's a lot going on in these brains. We can't remember everything. But I mean, I talk about a great character arc.
Right.
You know, going from somebody who who has been, you know, just kind of the source of pain and angst for so many people, then, you know, having this possible love relationship with Jimmy that, you know, the unrequited love, and then to end the entire series, and by series, I mean in the American sense, like the whole show, to have him have a possibility for a good, beautiful life, I think would be amazing.
And is that even realistic at the time?
Yeah, that's what my question is. I don't think really, it would be realistic.
More than anything,
I wouldn't buy it.
Well, okay. I'd
romp with somebody like that.
Well, I think that would be good, but the hope that there might be, not, I don't know if it wouldn't be an open situation, but where you might find,
like Carson bachelors says, living together.
You must the deal with the harsh reality rather than
the
hope. So the harsh reality is that you might never be able to have an open relationship experience, all
right,
that kind of stuff.
Right.
But there might be a place and a chance for you to have something that's you know, in fulfilling in some way.
Right.
I think just the hint of that would be satisfying enough for me.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about all of a sudden he has a boyfriend moving.
They're not going to get married or anything like that. That's not going to happen.
Somebody living in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So,
Confirmed bachelors, though, can live together.
Absolutely.
Confirmed.
They can.
It absolutely happened back then.
All right. All right. So moving on to our other couple, Anna Bay story. So.
Oh, for God's sake.
Really? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Really?
Courtney, you go.
She threw away the ticket. I was like, Miss Hughes, please just have it like in your jewelry box somewhere, like waiting. No, no, she threw it away.
Of
so, and then poor Anna.
Well, they thought.
Poor freaking Anna at the end, I gave away my husband's freedom.
Well, they thought when they threw it away, they thought that they were throwing
him.
Saving him.
Yeah, exactly.
Lady Mary doesn't take the bus or the train or whatever. What does she take? The bus or the train? No,
train.
You take the train.
Train.
She doesn't deal with these little tickets and returns.
Well, she certainly wouldn't take a steerage or
third
class.
Exactly.
Ticket.
So she doesn't know the tearing and she doesn't know any of that.
And
so
Anna
she burned
was just
it in the
devastated.
Fireplace. She was, of course.
Right.
Yet
so
happy.
So can we go back a little bit about how
absolutely.
She sends him
she forgets
runs off
her button
to go
box.
Get her button box and he
which right there is not
well,
a euphemism.
Behold, no, would it's you? Not. It's not a button box.
It's a
box
cap.
With buttons in it.
Yeah. It's a different
oh
kind
my
of
God. He found the book and the contraceptive. Shocking. Like we didn't see that coming three episodes ago. Mm-hmm. So the first time they come together, they get interrupted by Lily.
Right.
Or Marigold or Rose or
one of the other.
Tulip or whatever her floral name is. But then it comes back the second time. So he says, you think I'm a murderer. Mm-hmm. Which, can we talk about what you said?
Oh, just in the coming ups last week, it's called Frankenbite. They Frankenbite that particular clip. So you think all he says is you think I'm a murderer. And what he says is you don't want to have a baby with me because you think I'm a murderer.
Right.
So just to keep teasing if Bates is the killer or not the killer.
Yeah, so they're they're toying with us every chance
they
get.
But this is a non-argument, isn't it?
Yes.
Because
this is my point.
Okay, go ahead.
So he so all you have to do, this is like the typical sitcom.
Yeah, I know.
BS. All you have to do is go, hang on a second, that wasn't mine.
Remember that time
when you found me putting something in my coat?
And I said it was Lady Mary's, this is it.
And you are a lady's maid.
Yeah,
you don't think it's possible that it would be somebody else's?
Yeah.
As in the woman that she slaves for every single day?
And I don't know if you recall, but when that happened, that scene, a particular episode, when he caught her putting the thing, and I went, I don't have him see it. It's much better if he just finds it and doesn't know anything about it, because then you know.
Because then you can't refer back
to that. You can't refer, because the whole time the argument's happening, I go, all you have to do is say, I mean, he was there.
Yeah.
He saw
like
it, and
you
could
saw me put it in my
And then they never even addressed that.
No. Right. And this is what I write. And then they don't talk about the book and the contraception.
Well, why would you go back after that if you're talking about the other thing? I understand that part
of it. Because it's still an issue.
I know, but I just think it was a kind of a clunky way into the whole argument. Because I loved the scene when he said... when he's talking about how he wanted to kill Green, he knew it was Green, and she went, and that whole thing where I knew it was Green.
I know.
How
you
could
had
you know?
To find a way in to get
into
that.
It was just a clunky way in.
It was.
But once you got there in that scene was really good. I mean, we haven't seen an Anna Bates scene for a long time.
A long time.
Not a real good one like this, anyway.
It was
Great.
And, you know, everything was there. I mean, I wanted to kill him. I was going to kill him. But I couldn't do that to you because I would have been hanged.
Which is what we've been saying all
the
time.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows that because he's already been through
that.
Yeah.
Unless
he's not lying.
Then who the heck is it?
All right.
Who is it?
It's Cleopatra in the library.
No, it's Mr. Mustard in the library
Thank
with
you.
A candlestick.
There you go. That's who it is. So.
Okay. Either way,
I'm
it's
annoyed.
Devastating. Because now he's going to probably like go to jail for it anyway and get hanged because they don't have the ticket.
Right.
And then Anna's going to kill herself because she's the reason that he doesn't have the ticket.
Right. So, I, you know, just...
That
just,
was another thing when she said that. It's a great moment and everything, but I just went, oh, please don't keep her this victim forever. Like
she's
because she's always thinks she's responsible for everything.
Everything.
I went, no, don't do that because it's the same thing. For her, and I want her to play something else.
One of our viewers was, we were having a bit of a conversation on YouTube. You mm-hmm. were involved mm-hmm. in a little bit of that too, and via Twitter.
Right.
You know, this storyline was so much more powerful when it was about Anna.
Right.
And Bates, being a victim
and revenging
this. Right. Mm-hmm. And as Elizabeth said, and I agree. The idea that this has now become a murder mystery, and it's a murder mystery for a murder that we didn't get to witness.
Right.
And so it's like all this,
stuff that
you know,
off-screen,
off-screen speculation mm-hmm. makes it just annoying.
Mm-hmm. Well,
to a certain degree.
And because we wanted him dead anyway, so we don't actually...
We don't care
much.
How he died that much. We really don't.
Because
I'm
this
glad
is TV,
somebody killed him.
Yeah. Because this is TV and we can say that.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, not in real life.
Yeah,
no.
Of course not.
Real life,
but,
we would care.
I agree, it is kind of annoying. But you have to say, you have to admit, I mean, Julian Fellowes is getting everybody talking. Who is it? Who is it?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
He's getting people to, I mean, and that's very effective. I agree, though. I've always wanted it to be about, because I think you could do both. How are they going to overcome this horrible mm-hmm. thing that happened to them, to her, but then, of course, by extension, to both of them?
Yes.
And how are they going to mend that? How are they going to go beyond that? How does that – because that's extremely dramatic and compelling. And you can still have the mystery. Because, you know, the fact that he knew – that first of all, he knew anything happened.
Right.
We didn't get to see any of that.
Yeah.
Because
we
just
how he figured it out.
Well, we know he figured it out,
assume.
But we didn't get to see them have the conversation.
No.
Or at least have them not have the conversation. We never really got that.
Right.
Because we used to have them have a couple scenes at home. And this is the first time we've seen it at home, this particular series.
Yes.
That's true.
And for me, I was going, when are you ever going to get to them dealing with this problem, as opposed to dealing with who murdered Green.
Yeah, because they're an emotional
core
of this show.
They are the emotional core of the show. At least they were the last few series.
Right.
And the way that she was so like removed from him after it happened, like we didn't see how they were able to get it back together. They were just back together and it was all fine.
Yeah. And I wanted to see all those cracks and fissures and how they mended them.
Now, the payoff is, I'm sure, Julian Fellowes is betting on the quote jaw dropping finish to the storyline being really something, but you know,
no, I'm worried.
I still think I would have been more satisfied with an unfortunate hunting accident.
Agreed.
Hashtag unfortunate hunting accident.
Because I think we're going to get somebody and we're going to be like, why did he do it? Why did they pick? And then
that's the general consensus
whole...
in the comments is like, none of it makes sense. We can't figure it out. He's not allowing us to figure it out.
No,
we're never going to figure it out.
And that's the thing he's using to keep us coming back. And you know, it's working. A lot of people are, you know, curious and asking the question and trying to figure it out. And some people are getting annoyed. So, but
I just don't
still...
want it to be disappointing because it was so important that that retribution happened to him.
Right.
I mean, like,
well, he even said the hand of God.
To him,
You know, and actually, can I just ask you, writer? I know we need to move on to the next thing, but the passion that we felt about protecting Anna and avenging Anna has so waned that, like Courtney said, we want him dead and we don't care who killed him at this point. So how do you get back to the, you know, having the emotional core still being there and these, you know, this and remembering, because we talked about it a little bit last week, remembering that this is about Anna being brutalized.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing that was so shocking.
Well, the part that's difficult is because we didn't get to see her healing process and how she and Bates healed together,
mended.
Mended and stuff like that. We lost that. I don't know how you get that back because you can't go back and re-ring that bell. It's already gone. They missed that. So you can't go get back and get that.
Well, and they're not going to – they wouldn't – I can't imagine they're going to do something like a – well, they wouldn't do a trial because he's dead.
Yeah.
But
well, they might do a trial for the one who killed him.
Yeah, right. Mm. They could. Yeah. But I mean, do you go back through flashbacks to like get us to remember how painful it was? I don't know. I don't think it would work.
Point.
I think the momentum of this story has been lost.
Well, and the only thing that can save it is whatever this jaw-dropping thing is going to be.
I'm going to kill
it.
It'll
be huge. Yeah. And that's it. And
then maybe the whole
point may be so shocking that we just go, oh, and we forget everything else because it's so shocking.
Let's hope
Or the
it's
whole
awesome.
Point is that we're just supposed to refocus our energy on Bates and Anna being in love.
Okay.
And she's going to be pregnant.
There you go. Because you didn't think she wanted a Bates baby, but she does.
There you go. Okay,
speaking of shocking, let's move on to Violet. Because two things were shocking. The first was that she got a new lady's maid.
Dinker.
Dinka.
Dinker.
Dinker?
Dinker.
I think it's Dinka with an English
spelled
accent.
Spelled D-E-N-K-E-R.
Oh, you looked it up,
yeah,
did you?
Oh. Dinka.
Dinker.
So that's how
she must be Scandinavian or something.
Could be.
Potentially. She doesn't watch those Unmentionables.
But, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, first, before we go into the storyline, I loved where the two of them are sitting, playing cards, Isabel and Violet, playing cards. You know, and confiding as friends.
Yeah.
And there have been so many wonderful moments between them of sniping.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sweet that they were having that. And we saw in the coming ups, I had been really enjoying having a companion.
Yeah, exactly.
She's losing her friend.
But it was so... It's totes adorbs how they were sitting there.
Playing cards and chatting.
Yeah, and really confiding.
And
the power struggle wasn't there.
And they also shot that, the way they shot that. Usually they were on opposite sides of the table.
Yes.
This time
they were characters.
Just to reinforce that visually that they're getting closer.
They're growing
and
together.
They're not opposing each other so much.
It was Dinker.
Yes, and she's not a fan of
Spratt.
Spratt's not a fan of hers.
Spratt's
a jerk. Oh my God! The phrase I wrote down was "fit to be tied."
Yeah.
He walked in and he was sputtering and he was red and he was practically. But you know, in the cartoons, how like the guys have the shirt fronts and they like
burst out
of their jackets. I was waiting for that to go.
Steam to come out of his head.
He does not like Dinker.
Yeah, he does not. And he's so furious.
Oh,
about
God.
That.
She's refusing to wash the smaller item.
The smaller
and
item.
I just love that they lost all their composure and had to discuss it in front of Isabel. And even though Violet's saying, hey, whoa, time out here.
Like, okay.
Yeah, you're losing your sense of decorum or whatever she
said. Yes, exactly. An occasion. They couldn't compose themselves.
No, they hate each other.
Hilarious.
No,
it was great.
It was fabulous, and I can't
and
wait.
And Isabel, no, I've enjoyed it.
Yes, exactly.
But she also mentioned that's why I don't have a butler or
ladies' maid.
But now doesn't it make you want to see, Spratt and Dinka go head to head? I want to see this.
Over
something ridiculous, yes.
Yanking underwear.
Exactly. This would be funny.
Hilarious. Oh my God.
Spratt can throw a fit.
Yes.
Fat Spratt. So, all right. That's fun to watch. But really the point of the story was that Violet goes to see Prince Corrigan again.
Right.
To let him know that they're this close to finding out where the princess is. But more importantly, we see where she visits him isn't not in the best part of town.
No.
He's in what looks like a one room, ramshackle.
Shabby.
Yeah, exactly. Very dingy.
Not in the chic way.
Yeah, exactly. And certainly not a princely way.
No, not at all.
So we can see this as well. We saw a little bit of that in their experience because we saw them in the church. And so we know that whole world that they lived in is no more. But just putting them there, I thought was very interesting. Just because you mean the things peeling off the wall,
he says,
"Can I make you tea? I think I can make you tea." That's all.
Yeah,
very intimate though.
But very intimately talking about their past.
And professing his love.
And he was very bold,
very Russian.
The season of bold men on Downton.
Absolutely, very Russian.
I wanted you the moment I saw you.
More than any mortal has wanted.
Exactly, more than any.
Hello, yeah, I was.
What is that fan? Where's that fan?
I was thinking, because of the way Tony said that to Mary, I'm going, I wonder what Courtney's feeling about this.
All of these men, I literally wrote on the notes I don't have, bold ass men on Dalton this year. But I'm not mad, bro.
Yeah, so that was nice, huh? Right?
Made her a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, made her very uncomfortable.
Oh,
and I
absolutely.
Thought it was interesting because, of course, she's always the woman of, propriety.
Yes, absolutely.
But the one thing that she said that I thought made really good sense was, you make it sound like neither of us was happy,
right.
Or that we were both unhappy, mm-hmm. and that wasn't the case.
But I don't know, was it? Because what he says is, but you think unhappiness is ill-bred.
And then she said, you know me so well.
Igor. That I must concede. Yeah. So I don't mean...
That I must confess.
Not that it matters. I mean, I don't know because we never saw her relationship with her husband.
No.
But maybe at some point they weren't happy, but clearly they've had some sort of fling, and it seemed like a passionate one.
They went off,
you know,
alone
she's so
somewhere.
Good at holding it and, you know,
she
keeping
didn't
it
crack
in
at all.
That's an historic... what did you call it? An historic detail
moment.
Or whatever
or
it is.
Or a detail, yeah. I think that is what he
said. It's like, wow. Because, you know, what's holding her back now?
Exactly.
I mean, except for the fact that the princess may still be alive. But even he
but
said
even
if she is, it's like,
he didn't care.
I
didn't love her.
So,
he never loved her as much.
Let her continue to be a cleaning lady. I mean, whore. Oh,
hey, whoa.
Hong Kong. I didn't mean whore. I meant prostitute. Sorry. That's what I meant was prostitute. Cancel.
Erase.
Well, maybe with all the changes, she'll eventually go for it a little bit.
Yeah, do you think?
I mean, or at least have tea at the house.
Why not? I mean,
well,
what's the deal?
Isabel could encourage her.
Yeah, I think she needs that.
But do you
think
she's... two reasons I'm asking. Because is it because the princess may still be alive and there's still that thing? Or is it because... does it have anything to do with the fact that he's not a prince and it would be inappropriate for her to do that?
I think it would be probably improper on some level. Maybe not even dealing with the prince being dethroned. Maybe it's just where they are, knowing that there was a history. Maybe in some way that's some sort of affront to her husband in the past and that kind of thing. And she sort of resigned herself to being the widowed...
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine her trying to, you know, slip him into the family.
No.
So to speak. All right, but now hold on to that thought, because while she is saying goodbye to an old flame, basically Isabel is igniting
opening
a new one.
Yeah.
So she's decided to say yes to Lord Martin's proposal and is going to announce it, et cetera, and stuff. Now, and even she says to Violet, she says, this may be my last chance
for an adventure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going, well, what about Violet's last chance? So we just talked about that, Violet, but don't you think that's going to have an impact on Violet as well? Here this woman is, who's my contemporary, my companion, who's made this great statement. It's right, you know, because why not? This is your last chance in adventure.
Yeah.
I mean, what else is it? Why doesn't the dowager? So anyway,
I think it would be out of character for her.
It would break with the tradition.
And, you know,
That's exactly why I think she should do it, because what is she, 90 years old or whatever? What, you know, what are you holding back
for? I'm
not
saying
for?
I don't think she should do it. I think she should. Throw caution
don't think
to
she
the
will.
Wind, you know. But she's been given the opportunity to update her, you know, rules
yeah.
as
right,
time
okay,
has gone on
sure.
and as, you know, people get their hair cut and things.
Right.
And try and ride not side saddle. And every time she has, you know, gone back to the old ways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it would be out of character. I think it would be fabulous to see her like smile. Are you kidding? It would be great.
I like it because the Corrigan, the Russian, when he's so bold and he's just so brassy with her, that I would love for him to say something horribly inappropriate in front of
a bunch of people.
That's about how much he loves her or something like that.
And her just, go.
Exactly. To see, I would love to see how she handles that and how she kind of plays it off or whatever, because Maggie's amazing.
He's
going to
plan a nice kiss on
her. That would be,
some
wouldn't that
function,
be great?
And she's going to have to say something.
Exactly. I think it would be hysterical.
I do, too. I think it would be fabulous.
He'll do something. So, it won't be a real relationship.
And we're happy with Isabel. Everybody seems to be happy with Isabel and Lord Martin. We good with this?
Yeah. I'm still kind of sad about Clarkson because I thought they were a beautiful couple together.
Especially
they
because of what he said.
Like, why isn't it going to work with the doctor? And suddenly Martin is like appealing. I don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Except for
the
I wonder why she didn't think she would have an adventure with Clarkson. Maybe it would be too
common.
Maybe because he's a doctor and he will always think he's smarter than her.
Yeah, I don't think, but I don't know that he ever did.
No, because he always treated her really
he
as
treated
a contemporary.
Her like an eagle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, and even especially what he said, you know, that, you know, harsh reality is, it's better to deal with that than the other, which is very much what Isabel would say.
Yeah, that I was thinking so much of that when we saw that scene with Thomas was, you know, that's why I liked him with
Isabel. Right.
Yeah.
But she wasn't feeling
But well,
chemistry.
I'm happy for the adventure. I think I hope they put him on adventure. And
it'd
be good.
We get to see them in love.
Yeah.
I think it's cute.
I think it'll be really great when they marry and they're at Lord Merton's estate, man, or whatever it is. And they invite Violet over. And Violet is the guest.
Third wheel Violet.
Of Lady Merton.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. So I wonder if they'll be sitting on the same side of a table or
not. Of course, Isabel will never go to those conventions of what a lady should be.
No,
she'll
not,
be like,
not so much. Absolutely.
Violet's my babe.
Yeah.
My right. buddies.
Yeah.
BFS.
All right. So, well, since Isabel is accepting a proposal, let's talk about the other proposal that was made. A, quote, business proposal, end quote.
Oh, my gosh.
But it did make me think. Yeah. What did they do when they retired? What did, like, if you worked in the house all this time, you really
you
never
worked there. I think the line that Mrs. Hughes says is, what makes you think I'm going to live to see retirement?
Yeah.
I think they
worked
till they
were
dead. Or, you know, in some instances, when they were too ill to work anymore, they were taken away and put in a home to die.
Yeah. So. Occasionally families would,
take
you
them
know,
back, sure.
set up, you know, you can go live in the cottage
right.
on yeah, the green yeah. and, you know.
Right.
I can't remember who it was. One of the, it may have been Carson when he was injured.
Yeah.
You know, they were talking about how, don't worry, we're going to take care of you. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So but yeah, obviously, so, this all comes at, because Mrs. Patmore, they're going to see the cottage. And he's trying to give her the olive branches, he says, for the whole Archie memorial thing. Mm-hmm. And we go see the cottage, and wasn't it a quaint little cottage?
Quaint little cottage.
Very cute, with an outdoor
nice little,
toilet.
Yes.
Outdoor privy, as they say. She's used to that. And a nice tiny little stove. So,
may I make a suggestion? Well, I'm all agog.
Yeah. I loved it. And wasn't her look amazing?
The word I wrote was grin.
Yeah.
Because she turned sweet. Around. All right. So yeah. He says, I propose we buy an investment property.
Yeah.
She turned around like she had just been proposed to.
Yeah.
But in the had, other way.
Well, that,
essentially, he did.
I know. Yeah. I loved it.
Which is,
she knows it.
I know.
He thinks she doesn't know
but
it.
But it was exactly. It was so odd coming from him because, you know, he's so about the proper thing.
Proper.
And this was, you know, I mean, this is a horribly improper way to propose.
Cute home. Though. Fun.
Was it cute?
Cute?
Yeah.
I'll take a house.
Because she sees
that.
Right through him.
Uh-huh.
And he loved it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was just as fun as watching last episode.
At the beach.
At the beach.
You know, when they held
hands.
Hands.
Yeah, exactly. That was
very
nice.
Very precious.
Yeah, it's great.
Yep.
Perfect little moment from those two.
Yes.
Yeah, we really like that. Okay, so now, just because we've been dealing with all the other relationships, let's deal with the one that got patched back together, which was ridiculous because it went on for so long.
Oh, for God's sake.
You got Cora and Lord Grantham, who is still upset with
pouting.
Pouting like crazy, moping around and not sleeping in the same room and harumphing. And just, would you knock it off?
Yes.
Grow up. He just seemed so childish to me.
He was.
And I was very happy when she put him in his place.
Praise the Lord.
If you can honestly say you've never had a flirtation go too far, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Or given the woman
a wrong idea.
Yeah,
a
wrong
married.
Idea, exactly.
And impression. We know that he has.
We know
then
that
by
she
all
has.
Means, stay away. Yeah. Otherwise, I expect
you
back in my room tonight.
Yes,
boom.
Cora. Yes.
Boom.
And he doesn't even get comfortable in his little tiny bed. He just, right.
Dang it. Curses. Dames.
Exactly. That's right. Dames is trouble.
Begrudgingly throws off the covers
exactly.
is what I said.
Uh-huh.
Dang it. She's right.
Yes, she is.
It's like, really, why were you even pretending? What a stupid
thing. Yeah, what does it get you?
Well, I understand, you know, his whole line about, look, you allowed him into our private. Now, I understand he had a point there that you allowed him into our private lives. I get that part of it. But to be so, you know, well,
she was in her nightgown. Yeah. It did happen in the bedroom. It's not like he walked in the library and they were reading books
and holding
each other.
And she was covered from here to her toe.
Exactly.
She's standing. More uncovered at dinner.
That's true.
For God's sake.
She didn't have one ankle showing.
She did not have an ankle showing.
So.
But the toes. We don't know about the toes.
Right. Yeah. He's just sulking like crazy and just... there's just nothing so annoying as the Earl of whatever being a sulk.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Come on, crybaby.
Yeah, it works for him all the time. Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
But, you know, they kept that story going for a while, didn't they?
Yeah.
And it's just one little thing from her.
Checked him. That's right.
That's right. Okay. Right. Yeah. But before we get to our last point, I have to, because we just talked about Lord Grantham, is anybody really worried about ISIS? I mean, the dog, of course.
I mean, I was concerned if she's like laid up for days looking fat and not happy and sick. I was Why are we going to have another death? Move?
I thought, you know, I thought he said there wasn't going to be any more deaths.
No.
Maybe. Didn't that with Julian Phelps? Was he just talking about people. Humans?
This week we saw Lord Grantham's beloved dog Isis is a bit under the weather, according to the Hollywood Reporter. Some people are saying that the dear old yellow lab may be suffering from an ill-timed name. Sharing her title with the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, the jihadist group, has perhaps sent the sweet canine to that squirrel-filled meadow in the sky.
So you mean Julian's like,
you gotta kill the dog because of the name.
A rep for the show points out that ISIS, the terrorist network, not the dog, had not been using the title during most of the filming of season 5, mm-hmm. but Twitter users have still been using the hashtag awkward when referring to ISIS the dog.
Oh, okay. No.
Little news item that we were going to get to later.
All right. Thank you for getting to
ISIS
it now.
Is going to die, guys.
Yeah, she's listless and fat.
And, you know, could she be pregnant?
He said no way. Or
that
like,
dog did
not
look pregnant.
All right, mm-hmm. so Mm-mm. All right,
but
pending deal.
R.I.P. That never stops ISIS. Julian Fellows.
Poor Isis.
Poor Isis.
All right, let's get on to our Mary. And
Mary and her new haircut.
I wanted to end with this just because there was so much of it that I thought was hysterical.
Mary is a bitch.
I know, she's horrible. You know, she's horrible from Edith. Even when she's talking to Anna in private, she's just being horrible. I don't know what Gregson saw in Edith.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Cold as ice.
Cold. We already knew he was dead. What's wrong with her? And it's her sister.
And Mary's been through it.
Yes.
I know.
Thank you. But she, and what did he ever see in Edith?
Right.
Horrible.
Oh my God.
Horrible.
And
person.
Edith was kind to her.
And Edith was still like sitting in a corner crying most of the episode. Yeah. Like she wasn't doing anything and she finally stood up for herself.
Mm-hmm. But Jeff, that you liked her being this way.
I mean, I do. I enjoy it.
It's
it was great television and I was amused and it's an interesting choice though because we've had the little brief moments of her. Uh-huh. Well, obviously she came out of it when she married and Matthew and they kind of grew. And then after that, she's kind of come back and even in her mentioning to Gillingham that she's stepped outside of herself or become a little bit better of a person. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that
This was not the Mary that
it wasn't the growth
Matthew
had loved.
It was supposed to be growth, but it obviously was not.
No, it was growth in a weird way.
It was growth because it had to be at the
time. Is it just the hairs that a Samson thing she got that you do and decided?
No, because she went into it on purpose to like make them want
to
fiend for her, even
like
though she
Vogue,
doesn't want any of them.
Like a Vogue fashion model, as Maybelline Fox
She
put
wants
it.
Them to remember what they're losing.
To remember what they're losing.
Right. Yeah, so it was calculated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with total disregard for her sister.
Yep.
Because, you know, he'll still be dead tomorrow, but I've got to go get something going at the point to point.
But let's get to the important part. Yes, it was total disregard for her sister, but was it total disregard for fashion? Did you like the haircut?
I liked it. I thought
it
was cute.
You did? Okay.
And she didn't look like a barrel of monkeys or whatever.
Bald monkeys. Absolutely.
And she said, you made me feel strong.
Right. Okay.
You do feel strong when you cut your hair.
Really?
Yeah.
But even that, dude, because I was like, no.
I've done it.
No, I get that part, but that particular do on her.
I mean, it's 1920.
Yeah,
know,
it's too perfect for the time.
It's fabulous for the
time. But boy, did she like it. She was
a new woman.
Yeah,
except
absolutely.
Grandmama, I thought it was a man in her clothes.
I thought you were a man. Oh, it is you.
I thought Lord Grantham's
so
was
great.
Very diplomatic.
Yeah, he was,
I wouldn't expect
actually.
Nothing less from him.
He was
very diplomatic, yes.
So we go to the point to point.
Let's go to the point to point. Which was, you know, it was a lot of fun. I thought it was exciting. I thought it was really well shot.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Fun,
The horses were on that green.
Oh,
cross.
It looked gorgeous.
Fabulous.
It looked gorgeous.
I felt sad for that poor guy who fell off his horse.
Yeah.
Almost got trampled.
I was going, God, did they really get a stunt guy for that? Or would that just happen?
Maybe.
I think Mary should have gotten extra points or like some kind of handicap because she was riding
side
saddle.
Yeah. I thought she was going to fall off at one point, and
I did too.
It's
going to
be some
kind
of disaster.
Yeah,
and then it would totally take away from Edith again,
especially because
like, oh God, Mary almost died, and they wouldn't even notice that
Edith
was
left.
Gone.
Who?
We have another child.
Exactly.
Oh, there's another daughter.
I thought for sure Mary was going to hit the deck.
Oh, she rode and rode.
And I thought it was great that Isabel said, "What is it? She looks."
Oh, that was great.
Oh yeah. I think she's splendid. Says Isabel. I think she's cracked.
And there you have it. There's Isabel and Violet.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, I think she's crazy.
I loved it.
And when that was all being said, I'm going, oh, she's going to take a dive.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
because that's
it
for
looked
sure.
That way, yeah.
But it didn't go.
Not at all.
But the you know some more of the nasty lady comments between Mary and Mabel on the horses.
Yeah, you know Mabel was made such a big to do with Blake last week. You know, saying I'm not going to play along with your stupid
leftovers
little plan
that have lint on them.
And of course she shows up very eager to participate.
Ready to go.
She was ready.
Yeah, and looking good. She looking
she
good.
Looked great.
She did. She looked adorable.
She looked great.
She looked beautiful
on her horse.
Yeah, that's right.
And she goes toe to toe with Mary.
I love the vitriol between the two of them.
It's
so polite.
It is polite.
Yeah.
It's
fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. See, and that to me was how Violet and Isabel were.
Yeah.
It was an echo of that. So it was kind of fun.
It was nice to watch it starting.
Yeah, it's just young and sassier with better haircut.
Yes.
And clothes.
That's right.
They looked great in their riding outfits.
Let's face it, Charles Blake, his plan seems to be working.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, but Mary's not interested in him for real.
Yeah, because, and he said he be there by now if you'd quit jerking his rein or lead, excuse me, which was a nice metaphor for what we call these days. So so you think it's going to work? Because I thought Tony was completely into it.
Tony was.
He
was jealous when he saw her, Mabel, walk around and talk
and say
to
hi
Blake.
To Charles.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He was very jealous, very stupid.
I liked the staging of that because it very much looked like a dance, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to talk to him, and there's this going and that going, and I thought it looked great. Looked great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Blake, you're going to have a broken heart at the end, too. Mary don't want you.
All right, so the last thing that we have happen at the point-to-point is that Atticus introduces his parents, and Violet learns that they're Jewish.
Convert to what?
There's always something. If it's not one thing, it's another.
Just when she thought she was going to be able to relax. Oh, great. Now, what else?
Something
else.
Yeah, exactly.
No, not going to happen. So, all right.
Super cute couple.
Yeah, they did look cute, right?
They were sweet.
I have a funny tweet to read that was sent by Guy Warner Thomas. He says, Atticus is more charming than a charming charm snake who's high on Lucky Charms. And called him a charmeleon.
That he is.
Which I loved. And Matt Barber,
done.
The actor
that
who plays him,
accurate.
Retweeted that.
Oh, did he? Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's wonderful.
Super cute.
All right. Any last thoughts before we get on to...
Rose looked beautiful. I can't wait to see her as a bride.
That'll be great.
Oh, at the point-to-point, the phrase, are you stalking me?
Oh, yeah.
Modern phrase. I don't think that... I didn't check it, but I don't think that that's something that...
It would have been better if he'd used something else. Even if they did use it, it's too ubiquitous for now.
Yeah.
To make
it
kind of
stood out. Daisy Mosley.
Oh, yeah. Mosley's being...
Yeah, we should always be polite to people who are kind. There's not very much of it about.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I was like, there you go. Because that was... For me, it was the favorite line, mostly because I completely agree with that.
No kidding. No kidding. Yeah, we should always be polite to people who are kind.
And it made Mosley look less like a dork.
Gallant.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he had a moment he wanted to be something
and
else
he just,
too.
Yeah, he did. He wanted
a smart guy.
He had a whole other trajectory for his life, and it was not to be. But he still can hopefully create something like that by helping Daisy.
Yeah,
help someone else get out.
Exactly. That was a great line. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
help somebody else get out.
Get out.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Which really shows a lot of him.
I have some news. So
let's go to our news and gossip.
This was supposed to be in last week's news, but I lost it. I couldn't find it. Maggie Smith received a royal honor from Queen Elizabeth on October 17th. The Downton Abbey star was made a member of the Order of Companions. She was made a member of the Order of the Companions of Honor.
Thank you.
Good gracious. The award is limited to 65 living people of distinction. Other members include physicist Stephen Hawking, actor Ian McKellen, and artist David Hockney.
Okay.
All righty then.
Nicely.
In a follow-up to last week's story about the naming of character Atticus Aldridge, while Julian Fellowes is fond of naming characters after personal friends, he said of this character, I cannot remember another time when we allowed a proper character, someone with a real function in the narrative, to be named in the aid of a charity. And he said, we were lucky that the Byers had a son with quite an English name. But I suppose if it had been a foreign sounding one, then we would have had a foreign visitor stirring things up for the residents of Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. It's believed that that item raised around £20,000 for Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
Way to go, Atticus.
There is a new parody of Downton Abbey coming. The Britishes.
The Britishes. Okay.
It is a new DirecTV/College Humor sketch series that parodies Downton Abbey and becomes available tomorrow. Okay. The series stars Peter Serafinowicz. Hatch from Parks and Recreation. Will Sasso, who you might recognize from Justified and Mad TV, will have 8 episodes. The one being Currently Shown on online.
That's all right.
I'm rushing. Is titled The Charming Mr. Hitler, just so that you know the type of humor that they're going to be offering.
I see. Okay.
All righty.
So if they're going for the feel-good laugh.
Yeah, exactly. In her latest project, Dame Maggie Smith plays a homeless.
Whoa.
The movie is called The Lady in the Van. It's based on the true story of a homeless woman who lived for 15 years outside of the home of playwright Alan Bennett.
Wow.
What?
Well, from Downton Abbey to homeless in a van.
Yeah, Maggie Smith has definitely swapped her finery. The woman that she portrayed was only known as Miss Shepherd. She died in 1989, and Bennett, the playwright, subsequently discovered that she had been a talented young pianist who suffered from serious mental breakdowns and had spent time in a convent. The story was turned into a play, and Maggie Smith played Miss Shepherd in 1999.
Wow.
The film version also stars Jim Broadbent.
Nice.
It's set in the 1960s and is being directed by Nicholas Heitner.
Wow.
Very cool.
Go. Good for that.
And finally, just a couple quick shout outs to IIJG27 Rich, who recommended the film Enchanted April.
Oh, it's great.
If any of you haven't seen it, it's a beautiful film. Check it out. Shout out to my buddy Anna in Ireland and BW2082 on iTunes. Please do give us comments and reviews on iTunes. Is that what we're looking for?
Oh, yeah.
iTunes.
We always need iTunes reviews.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. If you like us, do it. And if you hate us, don't.
If you hate us, tell us why.
Yeah.
Are you doing something you don't like? I can't promise we'll do something different.
You will ignore it.
Right. But thank you, everybody, for all your comments and,
yes,
and for the discussion. I love going through discussions on the days after.
Yes,
and
terrific.
YouTube peeps, you're awesome.
Yeah, you are. We love you guys. Terrific. Super fun.
So insightful. Okay. I wanted to go into predictions because I have one. So
okay,
does
so
anybody
do I.
else have
do
anything?
One, do
I bet
one.
We have the same one.
Okay.
Go ahead, John.
All right. Well,
you go.
Well, let's say it at the same time.
Go.
Okay. I say
Gregson's
alive.
Not dead.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. They found a body. They probably found paperwork.
They don't have
DNA. Said they found parts of a body or what's left.
I think he's alive. I still think, I said that a couple of weeks ago, that he's going to come back. I still think that because I think that's really fun TV. She's gone because she thinks he's dead. So he's going to come back unannounced to show up and to get her. And she won't be there, and they won't know how to get in touch with her because she's gone.
And it's still poor Edith.
And it's still poor Edith. And he's going to find out that he has a daughter and the whole thing. And
that is still hashtag poor Edith.
It would be great drama because then when they actually finally get together, it'd be amazing.
Now, I saw a little twist on this with Edith just basically severing ties with her family.
Right.
And becoming this publishing tycoon and going back to that kind of, I think it was series 4.
Yeah, when she
three,
was writing.
When she was writing her column and she was really like doing something and being someone and having
that could be a
lovely
lot of fun.
Time.
That could be a lot of fun.
And so watching her kind of thriving is the word that I used, you know, and then at the very end of the whole series.
He comes rocking in.
And they go off to America.
When it's all
and he becomes
over.
A Hearst. The Hearst.
The Hearst. Oh, the Hearst.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's fun, too. That would absolutely be fun. I'd enjoy watching that.
And then we get to watch The American.
Yeah.
Downton Abbey goes to America.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes. There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
I could do that.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Any last words?
No.
All right. Tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Tamara Berg, TamaraB as in boy, ERG. My website is TamaraCentral.com. Thanks for supporting us, you guys.
We love you. I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at Stuart Starlet.
I can be found right here next week when we'll bring you another, what's that?
We only have two left.
There's only two more.
Not counting the Christmas
episode. That's right. We'll be here next week. We'll bring you another after show of Downton Abbey. Thanks again so much for paying attention and for giving us all your comments and your thoughts and your insights. We love hearing them.
Killed the man.
We don't care anymore.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Lots of wine.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.